rock that shit. I hold it down for the click with the tightest of grip. G Malone CD playing white lightning sticks while I twist another grabber and I fire that shit for real. This make me wanna get some game from OGs. You don't know me, they sleeping on me. That's the main reason I don't sleep.
My brother. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 95 of Speak On It. We haven't done jerseys in a very long time, but Michael Kendricks and Heels and Eagle wore 95. I'm your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix. How are you doing on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon?
My brother, you already know when you see this Nas fade under the beanie today, under the beanie. Hey. You know, it can only be one brother, the good brother, Losty Mix. My brother, it's a blessing to be here, you know, be here with you. I want to give a quick shout out to the Wu, as in the Wu-Tang, and also ODB. Shout out to those on the visual. I got the ODB shirt today. Just felt like, you know, I was listening to a little bit of the Wu when I was in the gym the other day. Felt like I'd give him a quick shout out. Hopefully, we might be entering the 36 chambers today in our talk, Danny. But you know.
Did you wear that shirt to work today?
Of course. I had to let the people know what type of energy I'm on. You know?
Shout out to workplaces that allow you
to wear. Shout out to the 9-to-5ers, us folks that's just out here working, still coming out here talking to the people, man. It's a blessing. Every Tuesday, I look forward to it. And, you know, I just wanted to shout out, send love to everyone at the top of the show that have been supporting, that have been pulling up to the shows, that's been DMing, chatting with Danny and I on the side, retweeting all the stuff on Instagram, showing love on the Twitter stuff as well. So shout out to all y'all, man. The love don't go unnoticed. Y'all real. We appreciate the love. Shout out Jamie. Jamie is in the chat. He said, yeah, I'm watching the Wu-Tang show right now. I assume it's the one on Hulu. He said he had to pause to listen to the show. Jamie, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate the love. Danny, tell the people where the podcast is brought to them by. Shout out Bam in the chat. He said, cut the check then, D. All right, then, Bam.
Check is in the mail.
It's in the mail.
Check is in the mail. I will say, your ODB shirt, for those on the visual journey, I wore my Kirkland sweatshirt tonight. Yes, I have a Kirkland embroidered sweatshirt that I got from Costco. It's my favorite sweatshirt. I love this sweatshirt.
Let me tell you something. I have a story on some Kirkland. Me and my lady, we got super bent off some Kirkland tequila.
The thing was
we was in the Airbnb, so I just grabbed like two wine glasses and I was using my eye. To those of us out here, to those of us adults out here, you ever been, you know, when you're drinking a little bit and maybe you don't feel like getting the shot glass or you just try to eye the shot? That was me. I was in that mug just. That's a shot. Brother,
with all due respect.
Let me let y'all know. Took me and my girl, we took about 2-3 of them, maybe 4 of them.
My brother.
We was bent. Listen, I ain't had too many grown hangovers like that in my life.
You make too much money, and I'm not pocket watching, but you make too money to be taking shots out of wine glasses, my brother.
But nah, it was the Airbnb. Nah, come on. Hey, yo, y'all hear him? Y'all hear these narratives? Hey, first off, I do not make a lot of money. I am a charitable organization.
You about to drop the cash app?
Yeah, I'm about to start dropping cash app. Nah, Bam asking me to cut the check. Bam, you cut the check. That's not okay. We was in the Airbnb, and that's why we had to take, because we didn't have any shot glasses. We just had the little. Hey, man, we had the wine glasses, and hey, we learned our lesson. We was We was hurting for 85% of the rest of the weekend.
Oh God.
Hurt.
Yeah, thank you, Bam. You are too classy to drink tequila from a wine glass. So, that might be a better way to phrase it.
For those who are joining via the audio adventure, Bam in the chat says that I am too classy to drink tequila from a wine glass. I'm not going to disagree. I also got to say what's up to my man Kyle Senra. Of course, I want to give a big shout out to my guy Kyle. You know, Kyle was DMing me on the side as the Lady Hokies cemented their spot in the Final Four. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. I called the Final Four to an exact T. But y'all best believe y'all know how I'm rocking. H-O-K-I-E-S, Hokies. Woo, 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 woo. A lot of y'all mask. You know what? I ain't going to talk to that word.
No, talk.
Let the folks know to them where we brought to them by.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your daily fantasy needs. Postseason for basketball is around the corner. Baseball is getting started. I will say, we're going to start plugging this now to our fans of the show and all of the Going For Two Network shows. The NFL Draft, we're doing the same thing we did last year where different hosts are going to rotate Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, Friday night, and then Saturday from noon to 2. We're going to rotate. You and I have Friday night, 7 to 8. We're going to talk about some draft stuff. We're going to have some fun. That was one of my favorite things that we did last year was the draft coverage. So I'm glad we get to do it again.
I love the draft.
So join us for the draft. Follow
I'm gonna let everyone know now. I'm going to let everyone know now. Whoever we're also chatting with, not only am I going to bring some draft coverage, but I'm going to bring some fantasy draft questions.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at my roster and I'm looking at the landscape of my dynasty league, and I just want some questions, and you know, an honest forum like that may help me get some answers.
I'm just going to bring some booze, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to drink some wine, and we're going to talk about football, which sounds like a lovely way to spend a Friday evening to me.
You're not wrong there, my brother.
Thanks everyone again for pulling up in the chat. Bam said I drink and smoke this weekend. What did you smoke? Oh, you're a firefighter. Oh, okay. So was it the smoke from a fire? Or were you like smoking crack? Like, please let us know.
See, look at us crazy how you just put that on Bam. Like, look at extreme fire or smoking crack. Yo, he ain't even. That's
crazy. Smoking meat. Pause.
Whoa. Hey.
I said pause.
Okay. All right.
You know what's funny? And then before we go,
Never mind.
Listen, man. You know what I was thinking about doing the other night? And then we'll talk about what we're going to go over what we're talking about tonight. I'm thinking about smoking my own almonds. Like, I've been eating almonds before bed to help me sleep, right? Because because I wake up in the middle of the night, right? And it might be my blood sugar dipping. And when your blood sugar dips, your body releases adrenaline and you wake up. So a healthy fat like an almond is supposed to keep you like settled through the night. So when that dip, like the almonds kind of keep you even. Dog, these smoked almonds are delicious. I might do them myself. I've bought like 2 bags the past 2 weeks. They are like, I have been eating before bed. I've been snacking on them when I get home from work. So I'm going to try smoking my own almonds. I'll let you guys know how it goes. This might be my side hustle. This is how I get out of the 9 to 5. Chill out, Bam. We're not even going to say that. The people on the audio adventure are not going to hear that. The people in the chat are the only people that will see that disrespectful comment. Anyway, tonight. Yeah.
Wait. Nah, hold on. To the folks that are in the chat, I just want to let you know, this is not regular activity. This is interesting activity. Danny, first off, I just want to congratulate you on finding such pleasure and joy in eating almonds. I haven't really heard such an eloquent soliloquy on almonds in quite some time.
Thank you.
And
I hate almonds. Like, I used to hate almonds, but now I can't get enough.
See, look at the power of growth and expanding and retrying the palate. And look at that. Jamie in the chat also says that almonds have antioxidants, so that'll help. So
yeah, So tonight we have a lot to talk about. We are going to start with NFL, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, some breakups that are happening. Then we're going to transition to NCAA tournament, the final men's side and the women's side. I'm sure you have a lot to say about the Virginia Tech Hokies and how the season is going to end up. Then we're going to go to the NBA, talk some playoff seeding. We're going to talk about I am going to be in a lot of pain. We're going to talk about the Mavericks for a couple of minutes and everything that's happening in Dallas. We might skip that. We might be pressed for time. I don't know, man. We might not have no time to talk about Dallas. WrestleMania is this weekend. Very excited about WrestleMania this year. 6ix9ine getting his ass whooped in LA Fitness like Juicy Smollett. And then you and I, we're going to talk about some other stuff, but one thing we will get to is two days ago, I found a thread of 45's greatest hits, and you and I are going to talk about some of 45's hits while he was in office a couple of years ago and some of the funny things that able to give us, the gems that he was able to give us amidst all the other things. We have a question this week. We're going to answer a question.
Yes, we do.
It's about the Commanders. And then whatever else you guys want to talk about in the chat, feel free to send it. But we're going to start the NFL. Doing the NFL owners meeting, the Ravens were set to speak. And right before, Lamar Jackson sends out a tweet. He fires one off into the universe and said, yeah, I asked the Ravens to trade me earlier this month. Let's start there. What are your thoughts on the situations and how the hell – are we at the point where Lamar Jackson is asking for a trade?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people are going to start off by saying Lamar doesn't have an agent. So, you know, he was probably doing things a little bit more directly with the Ravens front office. So obviously when you have the agent there, probably under normal circumstances would keep you from seeing probably a lot of the lowball offers, probably a couple of those introductory offers or, obviously, when you don't have an agent there, you know, you're more likely to see you're just more likely to see how they value you, like from the upfront versus when you have an agent there. Sometimes they can keep some of those offers maybe to themselves until they know that it's a number that you're maybe a little bit more likely to entertain a little bit. I think when Lamar got into the thick of the negotiation process with the Ravens, I think his evaluation of himself and what he was seeing, the Ravens' evaluation of him, I think over time just broke down to communication. And I think they were, you know, obviously you hear them when they say they built, you know, the team around him, the offense around him, but have you when the best wide receivers you have on the roster is who?
DeSean Jackson.
So I don't know. You know, he's won an MVP there, but maybe he doesn't feel like Baltimore is as serious about keeping up their end of the bargain. And maybe he wants to – maybe this is his way of letting it be known that, hey, this is where we're at. Like, y'all either give me what I want or close to what I'm looking for or please trade me. Like, he doesn't have any intentions of – you know, it doesn't sound like he has any intentions of playing – again for the Ravens. That's what it sounded like in the tweet. And if that's so, that's whew. You know, because like if you're the Ravens, I mean, you can put Tyler Huntley in there, but where are we going?
Nowhere. I'd like to put on my monocle because I have a theory. I'd like to say that this is collusion of the highest order. I think the league is trying to reset itself after the Ravens gave Deshaun Watson that ridiculous fully guaranteed contract. Everyone knows it seems like Lamar is asking for something similar, a fully guaranteed contract. There are too many teams sticking their nose into Lamar's business that probably have no business. I know today the Colts, I think Jim Irsay said, yeah, he doesn't believe in fully guaranteed contracts. The Falcons have said they are out on Lamar Jackson, which makes no sense to me. I don't think he's asking for too much. I saw a tweet today and it was like the difference between the amount of money that Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have made there in the same draft class. And it's like 20 plus million and Lamar will never get that money back because, you know, the Bills didn't play around and they gave Josh Allen the extension while the Ravens seem to be playing around with Lamar. I keep hearing this thing about Well, the style of play, you know, the way he plays leads to injury. Jalen Hurts is about to get paid, and Jalen runs just as much, if not as more, as Lamar. I know Jalen is bigger and he squats more, and in theory, you know, his body can take more of a beating, pause. But still, Jalen is we don't have that knock against Josh Allen either, because Josh Allen, again, if his name were Jaheim Allen, he'd be a running quarterback. Again, Josh Allen is bigger than Lamar, but Lamar is quicker. I think he evades tackles more. Like, more people miss tackling Lamar than they do Josh or Jalen. I'm just sad that we're at a point where Lamar, I don't want to say that he's begging for his money. I think not having an agent may have something to do with it. Like, if Drew Rosenhaus is representing him, do I think he'd have a deal done by now? Probably. Like, I think you can say with confidence that Drew Rosenhaus probably got Lamar his money, or he has the connections to facilitate a trade to help Lamar get him to a team that will give him his money. But I think now the owners have, again, there's no proof of collusion, but there's a very clear message around the NFL. Like, you're not getting a fully guaranteed contract from anyone. So your best bet is probably go back to Baltimore, which is sad because Lamar deserves a little bit better than that.
So my thing with that is like, if you're the Ravens and he's bringing up these points of, yes, I want a similar deal as Watson, maybe it doesn't have to be, it can be fully guaranteed for this amount, or it can be non-fully guaranteed at this amount over this many years. And you're telling them, you know, I want a deal, you know, similar in pay structure to Watson, unfortunately. And, you know, I feel like if you're the Ravens, he's been nothing but a good teammate. He's been a good leader. You've won a lot under him. I think they've won, 70 or 80% of their games. He's won an MVP. Comparable to speaking, his only comps are quarterbacks who've basically been on the steps of going to the Super Bowl or have been to the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow.
That's it. Like that's the class, because he's won a playoff.
All of them have gotten paid respectfully by their organizations, and Lamar has had Baltimore winning in a similar situation since then. So my question is this really about the dollars?
No.
To your point, there could be a message that's being sent here. I find it funny that these teams with very, very subpar QB play are all of a sudden don't want a former league MVP. Funny how the Jets come out and say they wouldn't want to negotiate in bad terms with the Rodgers and Green Bay thing. Yet so what you're telling me, if you're the Jets, I'm just saying, if QB is your problem, you would go all in on a 30 plus year old quarterback who was flirting with retirement before he was upset or over a former league MVP. Not saying one's right or wrong, no matter which answer they end up with, but is that what you're saying? Atlanta Falcons, you're coming out and saying you're not down with them. So you're saying Desmond Ridder is the QB of the future, which is, I saw Desmond Ridder play. I think there's a lot of hope and potential there, but if that's what you're saying, okay, interesting. Now the Colts are saying, hey, we like Lamar. They're looking at their QB room like, we can definitely we don't have an excuse at the number two overall pick. We can potentially work out something there. But with that, they don't have two. The Colts have three.
Four. I believe they have four.
Four. So the Colts got four. Jim Mercer is coming out and saying, hey, X amount, you know, he said, what about, you said guaranteed? He said he doesn't believe in fully guaranteed.
Yeah, Jim Mercer was. Yeah, Jim Mercer said he doesn't believe in fully guaranteed contracts.
Which means it's negotiable. And I also don't believe that Lamar only wants a fully guaranteed. I think that would be ideal, but I think he's open to other pay structures if you can figure out, you know, what to pay. Salute to Jim Mercer for at least being a little bit honest. But I think to Kyle's point in the chat, he said the Browns love that they caused complete chaos for the NFL with the Watson contract. Yes, they did. And if the Browns become a competitive franchise for like a 3 to 6 year period, or 3 to 5 year period, then it's worth every dollar.
I do. Jamie made a great point in the chat that Gladys made, that two of Lamar's injuries came in the pocket. So not while he was running. Even more reason to ask, hey, what's the real reason you don't want to pay this man? I agree with you. I think he would prefer fully guaranteed, but I am assuming at this point he just wants to get what's rightfully his, or what he thinks he's earned, which a lot of us think he's earned. And it's just sad that this is how the story is ending. That, you know, he might have to sign the franchise tag. God forbid he suffers some sort of injury next year and then he loses money that he just can't recoup. So I hope they figure this out. It's crazy. Like, even the Commanders, like, you have a team, but you just have Sam Howell as your quarterback. Like, Lamar in D.C., that could, as an Eagles fan, like, that's scary. That's scary business.
I don't know if I would. You know, I have a lot of DC fans that have a lot of Commanders fans. I also knew a lot of Patriots fans who were like, Lamar to our team is the vision. And I'm sitting here like, I don't know if I see it for either one of you guys' teams, but.
Listen, if the Commanders are for sale, they've gotten two bids for $6 billion. The Commanders get a lot more valuable if you find a way to trade for Lamar Jackson. Now that, I mean, the franchise is, you know, valuable anyway, but man, for an owner, like for a new incoming owner, I don't have to worry about quarterback. Like, all I got to do is get rid of Ron Rivera, and Eric Bieniemy is sitting right there. Like, can you imagine Eric Bieniemy and Lamar Jackson? Like, that's scary. Like, I don't know what we're waiting for here, but I hope he gets his money.
He waiting, Snyder waiting on the right offer, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
And Akili, yes, we do. I think that the Lamar Jackson situation is complete collusion. There are too many owners sticking their nose in Lamar Jackson's business.
Owners with QB play that's very subpar and comparable to the Ravens. So
D, you mentioned the Packers and the Jets a couple of minutes ago. Out of those two teams, who's breaking up first, Lamar and the Ravens or Rodgers and the Packers?
Funny as it may be, I still think it's Rodgers and the Packers. I think when you've been paying attention to some of the recent back and forth with the front office and some of the previous comments with Rodgers, it's like, okay, you guys are playing a little cat and mouse game here. You guys are a little pissy at each other. Can everyone just like let this go? Which also shows me that this breakup was very inevitable. But I also kind of don't understand, because he also said, you know, Rodgers also said he was like 90% leaning retirement. So he basically felt a little disrespected by, you know, the organization. So I'm like, hold on, wait. So wait, what, which was it? Were you already retiring or did you, I don't know. Either way, you know, I think the organization could have handled things better. I think Rodgers could have handled things better, but it is what it is. Like at this point, you know, I think if you're the Packers, you just go on radio silent until it's time for the actual trade. Big that trade up, and I still think you hold out until the Jets fork over that nice, pretty first round pick of theirs. So
I'm with you. It's definitely the Rodgers to the Jets, that deal. The framework of the deal is in place. I think the argument now is, what if he retires after next year? How do we get incentives? Because right, I think it was two twos with the intention of one of the twos becoming a first, depending on certain parameters. Now that one of the parameters, you know, what if he retires? How does that two turn into a one? So I think that's going to happen. Like a Lamar Jackson deal, like I don't think anyone's even close to having a framework done to getting Lamar traded. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to break up with the Packers first. I hope Lamar doesn't leave the Ravens, because I think like Lamar and Baltimore, like sometimes like they're just cities that fit quarterbacks. And I think Baltimore is a city that fits Lamar, just like the way Philadelphia fits Jalen, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers. Like there are certain people that just feel right in certain cities.
Yeah, you funny for that Jalen one.
I mean, Jalen does feel right in Philadelphia. What other, the way he's embraced it, he is Philadelphia in his heart. So yes, he does belong.
Okay, I ain't saying nothing. All I'm saying is Dakota Prescott, watch yourself.
Yeah, Dakota. Anyway, let's transition out of the NFL, talk about something fun. Final Four, we here.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of great basketball the past couple of weeks. We're starting on the men's side, the Final Four set. We got the Florida Atlantic Owls playing the San Diego State Aztecs. And then on the other side, it's Miami and UConn. Thoughts on the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and are you excited for this Final Four matchup?
Well, I'm going to start by saying my men's bracket had a lot of potential coming into the Sweet 16, and boy, did everyone just seem to lose between the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight that I was just so sure was not going to lose. Alabama, Texas, yeah. Kansas State,
Houston.
I was all like, wow, like that's okay. So I guess, hey, this is one of those Final Fours where it just is what it is, and hopefully we'll get some decent basketball being played.
I don't know, man.
I think the winner of the Miami, what's the other one? Miami UConn game. UConn. I think they're going to be heavily favored versus San Diego State or FAU. So do with that as you will.
Two things for me. This is for those of you who, and I maybe I from time to time say this, that parity is good in college basketball. Well, here's your parity, right? Like, this is what parity looks like. I think basketball, we talked about it last week, like the talent is more diverse across the board and across schools. Like, the blue bloods still get the talent, but there's still talent that can go to other schools, and this is a reflection of that. But for those of you who, like, you know, I'm tired of seeing Kansas and Duke and UNC, your ass better be in front of the TV Saturday watching these two games. This is what parity, and this is what the NIL has done to college basketball. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I kind of enjoy it to a degree. But for the casual fan, they're not going to watch FAU versus San Diego State. They're not going to watch that. For those of us who enjoy it, sure, but this is what parity looks like. Second thing, last week I got on this show and said, when UConn goes on a run, they go on a run. Y'all, UConn is in the midst of a run. They will be the national champions this time next week. Like, either UConn is getting eliminated in the round of 64 or they're winning a national championship. Like, there's no in between. Like, they look absolutely dominant. UConn is UConning. They're going to be the national championship. Go ahead and put your money on it. I shouldn't say that. Don't blame me if they do lose. But when UConn goes on a run, they go on a run. And they are in the midst of a run.
No, you called it.
Basketball is back, baby.
You called it pretty much directly on the dot. You said, yo, UConn's just going to go on a run. I'm calling it like right now. And that's wild. Salute to you. You knew that shit. You put that shit on. It's not on you. It's in you, they say.
Do you know what's crazy? Since the turn of the century, UConn, if they win this, I think this is their fourth national championship. Like, over a 23-year span. That is insane. Especially for a program that is not as rated as the Kansas, the Dukes, the UNC.
The last one was like about 10 years ago.
It was a Kevin Ollie's team. Like, Calhoun won two, Ollie won one. No, this might be their fifth this century. Like, I feel like there's another one in there. Research, Kyle, how many national championships has the men's UConn team won since 2000? Like, this is either going to be number four or number five. If it's number five, we need to have a serious conversation about why we don't think of UConn in the same light as Kansas. Meanwhile, Kentucky ain't done, just DeMarcus Cousins has left. And somehow we give Calipari all this love.
But Kentucky puts people in the NBA that can hoop and hoop fast at a high level at the next level.
So I'm very interested to see how many national championships.
Asking for a little bit more respect on his name. That's all you're saying.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the women's tournament while we're here?
Yeah. So let's talk about. So for me, I don't know about you, but I feel like the women's tournament has been heads and shoulders above the men's. So the Final Four for the women's is set. We got South Carolina versus Iowa. And on the other side, we got LSU versus Virginia Tech. I'll let you go first. I'm very excited for these games, but what do you think of? I know your Hokies are in there. I know you're about to talk your talk. So, like, go, floor is yours.
First and foremost, I want to give a major shout out to the Lady Hokies of Virginia Tech, making it all the way to the Final Four. I mean, these are two incredibly hard-fought games. In the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, that Elite Eight matchup versus Ohio State, that was a tough game, and they pulled that one out. They were down 7 early, pulled back into the game, and then took it over, and I was pretty impressed. I mean, they played a very good brand of basketball. Coach Kenny Brooks and staff did an incredible job at game planning this one, and I mean, so many, the team played well. I think Georgia Amore played extremely well. Team looks dangerous. They woke up feeling dangerous, and they look pretty dangerous. Now, I'm gonna let some of y'all punk asses know right now. I heard that shit you said about my school. I heard that shit you said. I just want you to talk now. Talk now. You was talking heavy about the Hokies. So what the Hokie? Talk now. Yeah, what's your bum ass school doing at home? Didn't even make it to the tournament. What's your school doing? Oh, your team used to be good. Now y'all fell from glory. Sorry, UConn. What the fuck? We better. Fuck out of here. You heard what we said.
Let Gino know. Gino won't hear you the first time. Let Gino know.
Hey, y'all didn't want. I picked UConn to make it to the Elite Eight. Couldn't even make it out. It's okay. Now, I ain't going to hold you. LSU, I've been watching them games. They tough. They got some size. They got some length. They got some girls that can really play. And on the other side, an unstoppable force meets an immovable object.
I'm so excited for that game. Like, that might be the game of the tournament on both sides.
I think that game is going to be close, but I think I think it's going to get ugly before it gets pretty.
Oh, yeah.
So Kyle got back to it.
Okay, yeah, let's go to Kyle, and then we'll talk about. So UConn has won 3 this century, 99. Won a fourth in 1999. Calhoun has 3. Ali have won 1 in 2014. So they've won 4 since 2005, if you want to throw in 99. So if they win this, that is 6 national championships. Like, we need to have this conversation about UConn basketball. Back to the women's side of the bracket. Virginia Tech, LSU is going to be a battle of the bigs. Very excited to watch that game. But oh boy, for those of you who don't watch Iowa women's basketball, there's this young lady named Caitlin Clark. Sis is a flamethrower. Other night, only person men's and women's to have a 40-point triple-double. I think she had 41, 12, and 18. The game is only 40 minutes long. She averaged a point a minute. Fam,
she gets buckets.
And then
she gets
like, she's shooting from the logo. Like, there's a play. It wasn't against Louisville's the game before. She takes 2 steps across half court. Her feet are on the Hawkeyes logo, and she drills a 3. And then against Louisville, I don't know if you saw this. Apparently, they were talking to her, and she looked that girl in the face and said, "You down 15 points. Shut up." And then there's another clip of her looking at sis in the face and say, "Yo, you can't guard me, fam. This is what the streets need." Let her, like, I like, a part of me hopes it's Iowa.
Well, spicy mayo is what you saying, yo, the streets need.
Yo, hey, spicy mayo.
A little spicy mayo. Put a little spicy mayo on it, boy. Spice the whole damn sandwich up. Get that bitch to popping quick.
Yo, not spicy mayo. I will say, though, at some point in time, like, 70% of Iowa's offense is Caitlin Clark. Like, at some point, you got to say, "Hey, man, we're going to trap you as soon as you cross half court." Like, at some point, you got to get the ball out of her hands. some point you send a double her way whenever she touches the rock. I'm very interested to see how Dawn Staley defends. I mean, they do, but you know, you got one person scoring 41, next score got 15. Like, yo, we tracked somebody. We need to throw more resources into stopping one person. And if somebody else beats me, I live with that. I'm intrigued to see how Dawn Staley attacks Caitlin. The thing about South Carolina is they can throw so many lineups at you. They can play big, they can play small, they can play fast. If you want to slow the if they want to slow the game down and beat you up on the boards or beat you up on the post, they can do that. Dawn Staley can do whatever she wants. I'm very intrigued to see how that works. I'm not rooting against your Hokies, but I would love to see a South Carolina versus LSU rematch this time for the national championship. Dawn Staley, Ken Mulkey. Let Dawn slay Mulkey too. And then she would be Gino and like all her peers that her on her level beat them in the highest game possible for national championships. That's what I want. If Virginia Tech beats LSU, I wouldn't shed a tear. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. I just want to see South Carolina and Iowa. Because that to me, that's going to be the game. It's either going to be the game of the tournament or South Carolina's going to beat the piss out that girl and send her to the WNBA with the black eye. So I'm very excited about that game.
Hey, yo. Yo, you good? Y'all hear my mans? No, I'm going to be honest with you. My bracket has LSU and South Carolina in the national championship when I originally made my bracket. But personally, you know what I'm saying? I think we're going to go in there and we're going to handle business. Y'all heard me.
I'm rooting.
Y'all heard me. We're going to go up in there.
I mean, you the one seed.
We are one seed for a reason. And we're going to go in there and we're going to handle business. That's what I think.
Oh, now, Caitlin Clark can't go to the league till next year. Damn it. All right.
No, he says he thinks. I think she can. I think she's eligible. If she wants to, but she might come back. She has the COVID year, probably.
Yeah, girl, go to league. Go to league.
Is it her brand and image might get her more money in college though?
That is fair. Okay, never mind.
Let's talk about
stay,
it.
Stay, let's stay talk in about it because you ain't gonna get no money.
Talk about it. You go to the NBA, Caitlin Clark. She might not make a couple dollars. Now what's up?
That's true. You're right.
Someone at Iowa, maybe one of them big rich Iowa brothers, might want her name, image, and likeness over some marketing stuff, willing to pay 250 big ones.
Yeah, get that NIL money. I am in agreement. I didn't think about that. Yes, across the board, get that NIL money. WNBA ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Now, back to what I was saying, I think the Hokies, they're going to handle business against LSU. I think South Carolina going to, they're going to be South Carolina. That's cute. And I think we're going to see something next week. South Carolina versus Virginia Tech.
Who you go? Because by the time we speak again, I think the women's national championship game is Sunday because the Final Four is Friday. So when we meet next week, who's going to be the national champion on the women's side? Is it going to be South Carolina or Virginia Tech? You going to take it that far?
I'm going to say the national championship matchup is Virginia Tech and South Carolina.
That's it? You're not going to give us a winner?
No.
That's fair. Let's talk. Let's stay in basketball. Let's shift over to the NBA.
NBA.
Basketball.
Playoffs are right around the corner. Okay, keep going.
No, that's my shit. I heard earlier in a presentation. I said, "Yo, that's a throwback." That used to be my shit.
The Bow Wow version or the original version?
The original version. Although Bow Wow do got some hits, I wish people would stop disrespecting him.
Yeah, people disrespect him because he's like really, really small. Like he's a small person.
I thought we in the age of no body shaming.
I'm not body shaming. I'm saying people are disrespectful.
Y'all went outside for Bow Wow. Bam wasn't outside for Bow Wow. Let me hold you. Come on. That used to be the jam.
Dog, the joint with them and Jagged Edge. Like him and Jagged Edge. Yo, that joint.
Come on. Y'all got to put a little bit of respect on Bow Wow.
You know what? We're going to play Bow Wow when we leave tonight. That's what we're gonna sign off to Bow Wow. Bet.
Y'all know me.
So basketball. We have, what, 6 to 8 games depending on the team away from the playoffs. In East Conference, Sixers, Cavs have secured their playoff spots along with the Celtics and the Bucks. Eastern Conference starting to wrap up. Meanwhile, on the Western side of the bracket, the Grizzlies have won their division, the same division as the Mavericks, unfortunately. Meanwhile, seeds 4 through 11 continue to only be separated by 3.5 games. D, this answer, this question is rhetorical as hell, but what team should throw in the towel and say, see you in October?
Well, I've already seen one team go ahead and say that in the Portland Trailblazers.
Yes.
They have silently thrown the towel in. I can see the Washington Wizards potentially doing something similar, and or the Indiana Pacers. Now, of those, I definitely, outside of the Trailblazers, who I know are doing it, I maybe see the Wizards. I know they're in the play-in, but I see them throwing in the towel.
Okay.
That's me, though.
That's it? You can say it.
Listen. Golden State.
Oh, wow.
Dallas.
Yes.
It's time, man.
It's the Warriors are the 7th seed right now, though.
The Warriors aren't good. They're good, but they're not good. So what are we supposed to do about them? Their worst qualities about them are that they can't win on the road, and they're not the best rebounding team, and their inability to win on outside of their arena could cost them in a playoff series. If they don't have the home field advantage, that means they got to win 4 out of 3. At least one of them is going to be on the road. Do you really trust this team based off how they play on the road versus at home?
No, I don't trust this team at all.
It might be time. I don't know. But I know they're defending champs. They got a lot of pride. Okay. Fair enough. What was the other?
You said Dallas.
Dallas. That was the other one. Dallas. You made the big splash trade for Kyrie. I get it. I understand it. What the hell's going on?
It's Luka. Luka's going through some personal things right now.
Like some serious personal
things. Yeah, it's with his mother. Like they're, I feel like he and his mother are having a falling out right now, from what I understand. But their pick is top 10 protected. Right now they have the 11th worst record. Luke is about to get suspended for a game for technicals. Hey, man, Luka, that calf hurt, don't it? Kyrie, your toe hurt, don't it? Yeah, go on, rest up. Kyrie, we'll get you ready for a sign and trade to L.A. Luka, go handle your business off the court.
This Wait is a minute. Loaded draft. Why are we so sure that the Lakers won't stick with D'Angelo Russell?
Oh, well, yeah, listen. Kyrie getting signed and traded. He can't walk away for nothing. Please don't resign him, Mark Cuban. Because if he wants more money, he can sign with Dallas and get traded. Dallas has his bird rights, right? Like he came to us, like we can offer more money. Sign the contract with us.
Are you sure that you think that Dallas would be so hesitant to give him up?
So here's the thing. Dallas is going to sign him to an extension. It's going to be a short-term extension, probably a 1-1, one guaranteed, right, and then a player option after the second year, or maybe probably a team option, to be honest with you, a team option after the second year. I've seen enough Luka and Kyrie. I don't need to see anything else. The team is just as bad as it was before Kyrie got there. And I'm not saying this is Kyrie's fault. Nothing that's happened in the Mavericks since Kyrie has gotten there has been Kyrie's fault. He's been a great teammate on off the floor. no foolishness, none of that. It just hasn't worked. If their games are too similar. If you want to get Luka someone he needs, I would call Atlanta and see if Josh Collins is available. I will call Toronto and see if Siakam, OG are available. Like, those are the kind of players that you need to put around Luka.
Big, so my question is, they had a good post guard in Jalen Brunson who had incredible post work, and they let him go essentially for the frizzy.
Yep.
Why?
Stupid management. That's all I got. That's all I got. And I'll say again, I told you, in 2 years, this is year one of Luka's 5-year max. In 2 years, he's going to walk into Mark Cuban's office and he's going to say, "Hey, dog, what are we doing here? Get me out of here. I'm done. It's on the way, man. It's coming." Yeah. Come on.
Who do you go to when? Who do you go to when Luka leaves?
What team do I go to?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to Philadelphia. I love the Sixers.
So if Luka leaves, you're done with the team?
That would probably be the last straw for the Mark Cuban era. He fell into a ring in 2011, and since then, he has done everything in his power to build the worst rosters ever. He didn't bring back the championship team. There's the DeAndre Jordan fiasco. He's bringing in he brought in Darren Williams 5 years too late. For some reason, he can't get people to come to a team in a state with no income tax. That seems wild to me. Like, Dallas as a franchise should be a premier spot for free agents. Like, we talk about New York, we talk about Miami, we talk about LA. Dallas should be.
My question is just, I'm hearing you talk about you can't put asses in seats. And my first thought is, it's probably hard to gain any fan traction when you have the Cowboys. And that's probably the internal battle that he faces in the city of Dallas is, Dallas Cowboys season ticket holders, I imagine, aren't cheap. So you got to, and then I think TCU's not far away. What product has the Mavericks put on the court consistently that makes me think that I'd want to invest in this?
They sell out consistently, though. The Mavericks, American Airlines, let's see. They sell out all the time. Let's see their sellout streak. Yeah, the Dallas Mavericks, a sellout. It's currently the longest streak in American sports.
Okay.
Like, so, Mavericks.
So why can't why can't they keep and bring then other big name free agents?
Because Mark Cuban is a terrible salesman when it comes to pitching free agency. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine. Well, now they don't have the cap space, but I can't imagine. It's very difficult to walk up to a superstar and say, "Hey, come play with Luka." How does that sound?
I don't know. I think if you're looking at the current landscape of the NBA, you got to know that you need help. No one can do it on their own, and you're seeing what guys like Dame and teams like the Trailblazers, where it's really one bona fide guy and a lot of other really good players who are still trying to figure out their role, how that can wear down on a superstar. And you gotta, I think if you look across the league, you need a punch A and a punch B. All the contending teams have a punch A and a punch B. So
speaking of punch A's and punch B, the Lakers, punch A has returned.
LeBron James
is back after seeing the LeBron James of feet. All that.
And okay.
He's still losing.
Yeah. It was funny how we won a couple in a row and then we end up losing the game. It comes back. But I'm so curious to know about this LeBron James of the feet.
So funny. That was the equivalent. Say what?
No, go ahead.
That quote was the equivalent of 45 saying when they looked, they didn't see DNA. They saw USA.
Oh, man. The doctor told me they had never seen DNA like this. They looked at my DNA and said it wasn't DNA, it was USA. Literally. Yeah, dude was like, I don't understand how. No, I was sitting here like, yo, this guy LeBron, he may not be from this planet. That's what I was sitting here thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he may not be from this planet. Either that or the shit they was giving him was crazy fire.
Probably a mixture of the two.
They was probably like, his recovery has to be like super fire. Kyle and Bam are having a long detailed conversation about how many free throws per game the Lakers have taken above the rest of the league. The Lakers currently are at 26.6 free throws a game. They are one of only five teams above 25 and a half free throws a game. So interesting stats if anyone is looking for it. Danny, what's next, my brother? Holler at me.
We can go in a lot of directions. We're going to save. I know we're saving for last. So let's jump to 6ix9ine, get his ass beat in LA Fitness.
Did you think it was real at first?
At first I did. And then I was like, why are three grown men clearly in their 40s beating up some guy who's 23? Like, y'all look a little too old to be beating up 6ix9ine because you think he's a snitch.
See, I feel the opposite. I thought it was fake at first, and now I do think it's real.
Okay.
See, people, I watch videos sometimes, and sometimes I get on the internet and I only watch videos. So I was scrolling and I seen this video of 6ix9ine. He was getting drugged by his hair violently. Then he was on the ground. And when he was on the ground, that's when I was like, oh, this could be real. This could be fake. I don't know where to take it. Then he started getting like kicked, stomped.
Yes.
That's when I was like, ooh, that might actually be real. And that's what, because those stomps were, painful. Those weren't the Hulk Hogan, Kurt Angle stomps. Those were the John Wick giga sort of kick. You know that for all my martial arts movies, my old school martial arts movies, you know that kick when like they kick, but like the kick lands like in the person's chest, and then they get do the close up of the kicky's face. They'd be like, whoosh.
That's what it was.
Gotta make that. Yeah, that's what one of them. So
I'm watching the video now. And those dudes, again, they look like they're 40 years old. Dog, if you 40 years old.
Did you see the video of the person who was videotaping? And then he was like, yo, 6ix9ine, I'm a fan, though. And he was like,
yeah, I saw that. You watch him get his ass.
Like, yo, they just beat my ass. And he was like, yeah, I just recorded it, though. And I was like, oh, dear Lord, this is the society that we live in nowadays.
Yeah, like, but this then dude again, holding I'm also thinking. Hands.
Yeah.
Say what?
Yeah, they was tagging them. No, they was tagging them. Now, I ain't gonna lie. Had it been me, I probably would have just walked out that bathroom. I ain't gonna hold you. I would have just walked out that bathroom. And I'd have been like, man, I wonder what he did to make them dudes that so damn mad.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. They kicking the shit out of him. It looked real. I'll say this. Every man in that video hit him.
He paid to get his ass beat? That's another question.
I mean, Juicy some later. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's real. They kicked him right.
You're right. Jesse, people out here stealing your Subway sandwiches late at night. Come on, bruh.
The funniest thing about the Juicy Smooley story is the moment Charles Barkley heard it, he was like, nah, that ain't happened. Like, before anyone else was on it, Barkley was like, nah, that ain't real. That didn't happen.
Jesse. Come on, man. Writing checks to commit crimes. What are we talking about?
So speaking of paying people off, your boy Vincent Kennedy McMahon, $17.4 million in investigation calls.
Oh man, Vincent K. McMahon, $17.4 million. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't do your nasty business on the clock. because it will come back to bite you. That's, woo. Vince, you a nasty freak. Freaky boy. Freaky boy.
Listen,
woo. Vince, you was getting your WrestleMania on. Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Speaking of WrestleMania.
Yeah. What match are you looking forward to? Or matches?
It's finally time for Cody Rhodes to acknowledge the tribal chief himself.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what's happening this weekend. The tribal chief will be acknowledged. He will be victorious as the undisputed universal champion. And I think Cody Rhodes is going to give him one heck of a match. But at the end, I just think Roman Reigns is WWE, and you keep building him up to be this immovable force. And if you have him lose, you make it at like a SummerSlam, not a WrestleMania.
I am with you. Roman, like, this storyline has a little more juice left. I think the Usos lose the titles, and then we start to break the family up. Like, Roman kicks them out for being losers. He kicks Solo out for losing to Cody Rhodes, or, you know, he'll send Solo out the Monday after WrestleMania. Like, I need you to finish him, take him off the map. Solo loses. Like, this bloodline storyline, it has a little more juice left in it before. I think you're right. It needs to culminate at SummerSlam. The other match that I'm looking forward to, and I never thought I would say this, I'm looking forward to Austin Theory versus John Cena. John Cena has been.
You think so?
Yeah, John Cena. Theory's going to win, right? John Cena can't win the U.S. title. His schedule won't allow him to defend it. But the way Cena has been dragging that man through the mud with these promos has been hilarious. I'm just looking forward to seeing how that ends. Owens.
You wait. So you really don't think they would give John Cena like a month title run?
I mean, they might, but when would he lose? Oh, yeah, think about it.
If there's a month between WrestleMania and the next one, all John Cena has to do is maybe show up to one or two WrestleManias, or not.
But that goes against
Raw.
That goes against everything John Cena has stood for his entire career, right? Remember the last time he had the U.S. belt? Every week, open challenge. Hey, I'm a champion that defends the belt. I don't like that was his whole thing against The Rock, right? Like, you won the belt. And then you
great
left.
Point.
Same with Brock Lesnar. Great like, point. Y'all win the belt, you leave, you come when you want. No. I'm a fighting champion. I mean, they could
that's
do that.
Point.
I just that's think it doesn't point. Fit everything John Cena's great been talking point. About his entire career. I feel that's like Rhea Ripley's going to lose to Charlotte, which sucks. But Charlotte not losing to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, that's not going to happen.
Sheamus, do you think Sheamus defeats Gunther? Sheamus or Drew
Hell
McIntyre?
Hell no. Gunther needs to be the champ. Forever.
Gunther is nice. I like him as an IC belt holder.
We about to see Brock Lesnar slip up and call almost the N-word during a match. I feel like that's inevitable. That's gonna feel like Stone Cold racism.
Yo, where your brain goes? Why do you think this is Brock Lesnar?
Let me tell you something. I don't know Brock Lesnar from anyone, but I guarantee you Brock Lesnar be saying racist stuff all the time. Ain't no way. I bet you he don't even probably know what's racist, but I feel like man. You don't think so, dog.
Nah, I'm not rolling with Brock.
You can't tell me Brock don't be walking around wherever he lived in the middle of Wisconsin talking like Tony Soprano season 2 when Meta was dating that black dude. You can't tell me that's not Brock Lesnar, dog. You can't tell me that.
People, I need if you're able to and old enough, I need you guys to go watch this episode of The Sopranos in season 2. What he's talking about, because it is honestly, if you want to talk about it, it is. I was laughing at the pure unadulterated racism in this show.
Dog.
On this particular episode.
It is. Like, season 2 is hilarious.
They got some shit
like
on.
He had a new slur for black people every episode. Like, he was saying stuff I'd never heard before. And I live in the South.
He got some shit off. He definitely got some shit off in season 2. Shout out to Tony Soprano. James Gandolfini. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. So, we have some other things to talk about, but I feel like We can talk about that next week. We talking about racism. So earlier this week, there was a tweet about 45. And for those of you who don't know who 45 is, it was before 46, who is here now. There was a tweet about some of 45's best moments. And I tweeted
you. Well, we got to set the tone with a little bit of reading of the tweet. So the tweet basically said, people, was
I have it right here. Keep it a bean. 45's ignorance didn't make you laugh sometimes? ? And then it has just turned into a thread of 45's best moment. D, do you have a favorite moment from 45's presidency?
Oh man. Well, we have the time my man was shooting the paper towels into the crowd like they were free throws. I've never seen that before. First off, wasn't this for like a hurricane relief or something?
Yeah, it was after a hurricane. Those people had lost everything.
And he was shooting paper towels into the crowd like they were free throws. So that's one. Y'all remember when he was doing the press conference? It was him and some girl. This is during COVID, and she said, yada yada yada, yeah, I'm just getting over a cold like yesterday. And he was like, and he walked away. I'm trying not to laugh. Hold on.
It's funny. The one with the Pope and they're taking the picture, and he like rubs the Pope's hand with his pinky, and yeah, the Pope slaps his hand away.
He rubs the Pope's hands. Let's also not forget when he got off the plane after he was confirmed with COVID. He was standing at the top of that plane, sucking his gut in, red as shit, sick as hell, on knowing that shit, whooping his ass. Oh man!
There was the Clemson football team. He fed McDonald's when he fed the Clemson football team McDonald's.
Oh yeah! Can't forget that he let Clemson. He let Clemson in after winning national championship. And said, "Hey, you fine African American men. Here's the McDonald's. This is something that you'll definitely want." Then walked into a McDonald's earlier this year and told the McDonald's folks that he knows the menu better than they do. He's been here so many times. Let's also not forget about the tweets he sent out to Iraq or something in regards to potential World War III. He basically said, yo, you don't want this fucking smoke with us. I'm trying not to laugh.
Get home ASAP, ASAP.
Yeah, he told ASAP, get home ASAP, ASAP. When he was diagnosed with COVID, he said the doctors had to look at him and it wasn't DNA, it was USA. I just want to let y'all know.
Hold on. Then there's the LaMelo Ball one. Not LaMelo. He got the LiAngelo out of jail in China and told LeVar, he was something like, yo, if their daddy wasn't, the LaMelo Ball, I'm sorry. What are you saying? I'm butchering it. It's just so funny.
Just want to let everyone know this man was a real president at a time. He kept calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas for some reason.
Yes.
I remember when he was doing the debate with Hillary, and she had said something. He was like, "Yeah, because if I was around, you'd be in jail." And I was like, "Oh man, yo, he we."
Yo,
Oh man, go ahead.
I remember during the Biden debates during COVID, they were like, yeah, you know, you're holding all these rallies. And he was like, but they're outside. And then they're like, yeah, and Joe is holding smaller rallies. And he's like, because no one wants to go.
Yeah, I just want to let people know this was not a hallucination. This was real life. This was a real president. And 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, a lot of us are going to have to look at our children and our children's children, have to explain to them how we kind of helped this man get into office.
We? No. I ain't explaining nothing to my children.
I mean, look around. I didn't vote for him, but at the same time, there was he represents like a number of the population did, and so if you believe in one man, one sound, that's who are. A majority opinion, majority population did.
That's true.
So now, did he win like 50 to 50.1? Yeah, but
he said he still won.
He did okay. Pardon a lot of rappers. He did pardon a lot of rappers. Kodak Black is a fam. Didn't he pardon Wayne too?
He pardoned a lot of people. Yeah. He said, "I can't give you reparations, but I can get you out of jail."
He called Ted Cruz the Zodo brother. I do remember that. Oh man! All right, Danny, we have a question.
We do have a question. So, for those of you who don't know, every week we ask you guys to send us your questions, speakonapod14@gmail.com. If we do get questions, we'll read them the next show and we'll do our best to answer them. They don't have to be sports related, but this week it is. This question is, for 24 years now, Dan Snyder has owned the Washington Commanders, and he took one of the premier NFL franchises and made it into a slight laughingstock. I wouldn't even say slight. It is a laughingstock of the league. Yet the fan love is still very much there. In this age of selective outrage, how do sports teams continue to duck smoke until a Donald Sterling-like incident happens? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, you got it.
I'll say this. I don't think... How do I say this correctly? There have been people who've been calling out, you know, Dan Snyder, the racist name, the stuff that happened with the cheerleaders on the island with the sexual harassment. It's just the thing about Donald Sterling is he got caught on camera being a racist, right? Like, you can't shove that. You can't brush that under the rug when he's on Anderson Cooper saying, "What has Magic Johnson done? He's got AIDS," right? Like, you
Yo, Donald, what is going... Yo, racist whites get off some crazy bars.
Racist white dude's named Donald, yo. Like, they just... That's just another level of racism. Some
crazy bars.
But, I if we had Dan Snyder on camera, I don't know, saying something racist, admitting that, you know, hey, yeah, I'd let those guys in, kind of like a peep show, and they sexually harass those cheerleaders on that photo shoot, then yeah, like, it, you can't sweep it under the rug because you have the smoking gun. It's coming out of the horse's mouth, right? Like, and you can say the same thing about Mark Cuban, right? Because Mark Cuban and the Mavericks a couple of years ago, the Athletic did a report about the sexual harassment that was running rampant in his organization. He gets on ESPN, he apologizes, and Cuban has skated since then. There really hasn't, like, he hired a woman as the CEO of the Mavericks. She's doing great work. I'm assuming I have her or anything, but like, Donald Sterling's racism was so outrageous, you could not sweep it under the rug. Like, he said some reckless things on that interview that you just couldn't, like, he was caught on, like, she recorded him saying racist stuff. Anderson Cooper gave him the opportunity to come on and clarify it, and he was like, "No, I meant that. I'm going to stand on what I said." And that's why we got Donald Sterling.
He said if he's going to go out, he's going to go out swinging. Like, he said, fuck it. Like, I'm, man. So I think, I guess to one point that you said that I want to talk a little bit more about, it's at what point, when there's no video evidence, do we have to say that enough is enough? Like, if there's no strong video evidence, and like, it's, you know, like, I guess what I'm really trying to say is, like, we live in a world now where it's, you're proven innocent. I mean, you're guilty until you're proven innocent, instead of you're innocent until proven guilty. So you know.
For me, the thing about Dan Snyder is there's too much smoke around his name for there not to be fire. Like, he's been involved in too many things. Like, too many things have happened on his watch. Like, at some point, like, we're talking about stealing money from the NFL, from other owners. We're talking about the sexual harassment case. We're talking about the name, however far you want to take that. But, excuse me, he's been involved in too much to be like, to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? If it was just one thing, it should be taken seriously. But in the eyes of the public, he would probably get a pass. Like, look at Jerry Jones, right? Jerry Jones hid a whole human being away from the public. She got a paternity test, proved that he was her dad. And again, like, Jerry has skated because
Jerry's not well, crazy. Well, we're in America. That story is common.
That's too common.
Especially in... I don't want to say it. So, but my thing is, I feel like Dan Snyder, and this is not me caping for the Snyders or the Washington, whatever their previous name was, / Commanders. But I feel like Dan Snyder can't be the worst of them. I feel like there's got to be some wild boys up there, especially that own, especially that are owners. And I feel like a lot of their stuff gets swept under the rug because
they
got to protect it. You know, yeah, either that or either they haven't got caught or they have to, they're under the representation of the shield and the brand, and that's bigger than one person's image. So that's why I think so many owners are willing to stick together on some of these issues because they know, they think they know what's best for the betterment of their, you know, the shield, the brand, and the teams that they co-own. It also goes, this also ties back to our Lamar Jackson take, you know, and your point, and the owners may be colluding because they don't want to give another team a full guarantee. I mean, they don't want another player receiving a fully guaranteed contract like Deshaun Watson and making players think that's norm, not on a lot of these players' books. And so, hey.
And so Bam asked a very interesting question. He said, the Commanders were good, would he still be forced to sell? No. Winning solves everything. Like, he's driven that franchise into the ground. Like, the stadium sucks. The team sucks. The fans support.
They also, and through that, through a lot of those terrible, sucky years, they've also had, like, off years where they've made the playoffs and been decent.
Yeah. Like, that franchise had the opportunity to change their fortunes with RG3, and Mike Shanahan was like, nah, sit him out there while his leg is on, you know, about to fall off his body. Like, the RG, if RG3 had panned out, I'm sure we're having a different conversation right now.
Yeah, because they would have had at least a 3 to 4 year run where they would have been really, really, really competitive.
I mean, probably more, right? Like, RG3, that wasn't – was that the Winch year? No, that was way before Winch. That was the Andrew Luck year, right? So, yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, we have a 3 to 4 year window of the Commanders being dominant and then even after that being competitive because the NFC East was down for a while. Like, it was anyone's lead. I mean, anyone's division. So I think if RG3 pans out, we're having a different conversation about Snyder right now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a great question, Bam. If the Commanders were good, he would not be forced to sell. People would have just dealt with it like they've been dealing with it, like that usually happens. And I feel like, I feel like there are other Dan Snyders out here. You guys, the world just doesn't know them.
Correct.
And not to say they're, not to be their judger of characters, but I'm saying there's a lot of imperfect people who own football teams or own major league sports teams. So my real question to the people is, where's your outrage then? Or keep the same energy?
I'll say this. There's no such thing as a squeaky clean billionaire.
Tell them.
The owner of your sports team.
I'm glad you brought that up, Bam, because Danny's right. There is no such thing as a squeaky clean billionaire at all. But this billionaire gave out $100 million to Josh Norman, I can somewhat understand. Albert Haynesworth was the one that made me really question what the fudge is going on in the nation's capital. Can you believe, what were your thoughts when you heard about that signing? I said, there's just no way.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. Good for the Eagles. Hey, you want to throw $100 million at Albert Haynesworth? Okay, that works for me.
What's the worst signing you've seen the Eagles make in your
fandom? The worst signing has to be, there are a couple. Nelson Aguilar helped win the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz helped to win the Super Bowl. Oh, DeMarco Murray. There it is. You know, the DeMarco Murray signing was the end of Chip Kelly. Like, that was putrid.
Yeah. DeMarco Murray had a good year that year, though.
No, he didn't. DeMarco Murray. He was Nnamdi. Yeah, bam. Nnamdi's up there with DeMarco. Byron Maxwell, when he came from Seattle.
Wait, tell me more about Nnamdi.
Nnamdi Asamoah. This was the dream team. Vince Young, Nnamdi, McNabb, and Vince Young in training camps. Like, oh, this is the dream team. Dog, Nnamdi was cheeks.
I do remember that now. Kyle says the Packers' worst signing is Jimmy Graham.
Oof.
I remember that time. Not Eddie Lacy. I was getting ready to throw out Eddie Lacy out there because that was a funny time in Packers fandom. Because he had the one year where he was just going crazy, and literally the very next year was a completely different person.
Yep.
People.
I think that's it. Like, where can the people find you?
Well, people, first and foremost, unlike Eddie Lacy, I'm going to be staying away from the Chinese food.
Jesus.
At least today. But you can find me on, Bam said Eddie Lacy ate his way to my 600-pound life. Yo, it was honestly crazy, yo, because literally after Eddie Lacy's rookie year, I was like, oh man, this guy's about to be something like Aaron Rodgers hasn't played with before. A true two-way back. Haven't seen this since like James Starks.
Tough times.
People, make sure you follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube and Twitch at Los Demix. That's LOSDEEMIX. Make sure you follow the podcast at SpeakOnIt_pod. Make sure you send in more questions either in chat for us to answer or via email at SpeakOnIt14@gmail.com. Again, if you're not in the chat sending us questions for us to answer, send us questions at SpeakOnIt14@gmail.com. I do want to let people know it is the fantasy basketball playoffs. My team had a bye week last week. We're in action this week. It might be tough for me to reach. It might be a tough one for me to reach the championship round, but I'm gonna keep on having faith. I only got two moves left for this week. I've already used two yesterday. I got two more left for the week. We'll see. I had the best regular season record, scored the most points, but it's officially tank season in the NBA, load management season. Illness is the new load management, by the way, for those NBA fans out there wondering.
You are correct. You can find me on the Bird app, Daniel Osher 41, reiterate what D said. Find us on IG and Twitter, SpeakOnIt_pod. Join us every Tuesday, 7:30-ish. We have jobs. We do our best, but hang in there with us. We enjoy having fun with you all. Thanks to everyone who pulled up. SpeakOnIt14@gmail.com. Send us your questions. D, I know we talked about signing off tonight to a Bow Wow song. I'm still open to that if you are. And if so,
what? Oh, yeah. Before we get out of here, though, I've got some breaking news for the people.
Okay.
Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki, Pau Gasol, Tony Parker, Becky Hammon and Greg Popovich elected to the Basketball Hall of
Fame. Let's go. They better not let Dwayne go last, but they are, and it's going to be infuriating.
What do you mean?
Dirk needs to be the last person to speak that night, but it's going to be Dwayne because we have this thought that Dwayne is one of the greatest shooting guards ever, and he is not. We've talked about this at length. We're not doing it tonight. Congrats, Dirk. I will be there on my TV screen.
Come on, Bam. I heard that shit you were talking about, Bow Wow. Come on now. Put a little respect on Bow Wow's name. Yo, he was trying to act like Bow Wow ain't got the bops.
Bow Wow do got the bops.
Okay. Hey, hey.
See y'all next week.